Well, upon this Father's Day, again, we're happy Father's Day to each man. But you have to admit, many times, you know, it's a totally different society than what our parents grew up in and what our grandparents grew up in. And I think often it's sometimes more difficult. Husbands often feel, you know, like, let's be honest, as dads and husbands, we feel like we can't do anything right, can we? We try our best, we keep doing things, but sometimes we look back and we shake our head and say, that didn't come out the way I wanted it to. And I didn't do the best job there. And we feel like we fail. And we look at our loving wives and we think about certain times and they think, well, you know, they want us to wear so many different hats. And sometimes in exasperation, men, don't we sometimes say, what does she want me to be? And while it is important for us as husbands to please our wife, the true key to pleasing her is to be the type of husband that God wants you and me to be. As we start this series upon having a happy Christian marriage, let's notice this. A happy marriage is one in which the husband fulfills his God-given role. And so we're going to look at that this morning. What is our role, men, in the home as a husband? Well, first of all, a husband is to be a learner. A learner. Maybe you'll put a mark there in Ephesians because we'll come back to that, our scripture reading. But go with me, please, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. It's amazing how many times the New Testament speaks to husbands and wives and children, and etc. But here we have what Peter has to say. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 7. I'll give you a moment to get there. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. We, men, we are to be a learner. You see, when we think about your wife needs for you to learn to live with her. To live with her. Notice what it says here. Dwell with them. Marriage is a challenge. It doesn't matter if you've been married just recently or you've been married for years and years. And for our young people, as you contemplate marriage. Marriage is a challenge. One man illustrated it like this. Marriage is like two mighty rivers that come together. At first, there's going to be a lot of turbulence. But later on, it's deeper and stronger because you come together. You have different personalities. Opposites attract. You supply each other's weaknesses, but also because of that, sometimes opposites attack. And so there's turbulence. There's getting to know each other, and that goes on for your entire marriage. But with God's help, you'll be stronger and mightier because of that. There'll be a deepness that never would have been there. Now, husbands need to be involved, and if you dwell with them, you need to be involved in the home. It is not just, and I understand, especially with the economy the way it is, well, I need to work, and you know, there's an old philosophy, I work, I bring in the bread, let her take care of everything else. That doesn't work that way, guys. You need to be there. You need to learn how to dwell with her. You need to learn what's going on. The husband needs to be involved in the home, which means you need to be at home at times. Our forefathers might have thought they could get by with being gone all the time, but they had their own problems too. If our home is going to be what it needs to be, we need to spend time with our children. We need to spend time with our wife. We need to be there. We don't want to reach that ripe old age and the children leave and then we never see them again because we've never got to know them and they don't have anything in common with us because we never spend any time with them. And then the children leave and we discover we don't even know our wife anymore because we never spend any time with her. And children, Young people, let your parents have time together. Support them. You'll be better off because of it. You need to learn how to live with her. There's another thing you need to learn. Your wife needs you to learn to know her. You say, well, of course I know her. I married her. That doesn't mean you know her. That's just the beginning. Notice what it says here. With understanding. Here's a case where I really love the way the old King James put it. According to knowledge. You got to come to know her. The most important subject you will study in all your life needs to be a study of your wife. You need to study her. A Christian husband needs to know his wife's moods, her feelings, her fears, her hopes. You say, how am I going to do that? You know, there's the old saying, nobody understands a woman, not men. How do we come to understand them at all? Well, the solution is to spend time with her. You need to talk with her. Get to know her better. Keep your eyes and ears open to what she says and what she means. What's below the words? Remember when you were dating? You couldn't spend enough time with her? You need to get back to wanting to spend time with her and learning her more. May I say that not only is she the most important subject you will ever study, but she should be the most interesting subject you ever study. You should want to know more about her. She's interesting. So the first job is you need to be a learner. Peter goes on, though, and tells us you need to be a lifter. Verse 7 continues, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You need to be a lifter. That means you need to support her physically. Your wife needs your support physically as the weaker vessel. And let me hurry very quickly here before I get stoned by the ladies. That does not mean weaker mentally. Most of us may say there, amen, our wives are smarter than we are. We don't like to admit it, but they are. I mean, after all, they did marry us. Anyway, I got by with that too. It does not mean they're weaker mentally. They're very smart. It doesn't mean they're weaker morally. It doesn't mean they're weaker spiritually. Often, again, our wives often are more spiritual than we are. Rather, it means physically. Now, as a general rule, men are stronger than women. Now, there are exceptions. I went to school with a wonderful young man who was very small, very slender, and his nickname was Mouse. I am told, and he married this girl who was pretty stout. I understand that on their wedding, I wasn't there, but I understood when they had the wedding, it says, you may kiss the bride. She picked him up and kissed him. But general, oh my goodness, like picture him right now. Generally, we're more stronger. And now, society today doesn't want to admit it, but men and women are different. Our muscle structure is different. The way we're built are different. The way we take in oxygen, etc. The way we just are, we have more of a stamina. And we need to realize that, and we do not make our wives the workhorse. She's not a mule. We need to take our part and be doing things. We are stronger physically than she is. Now, understanding that and not making her do all the jobs around the house. And understand today, it's not the society again of years ago where the man went out all the time and the woman was able to stay home. Blessed is that when it can be. But we need to take our part in the housework too. Understanding that we men need to treat our wife like an expensive, beautiful, fragile vase in which is precious treasure. Think of it that way. It's said that chivalry is dead. Well, chivalry may be dead, but be her knight in shining armor anyway. Treat her like a princess. The home's going to go a whole lot nicer when we do. She needs us to support her physically. Also, your wife needs your support emotionally. Notice it says giving honor to your wife. That is, show your wife honor. Put her in the place of honor. The word giving means to assign, to show, to pay. You assign her a place of honor. How do you do that? Well, you honor her by respecting her feelings, her thinking, her desires, her opinions. Let's be honest. You may not always agree with her, but you listen to her. And for goodness sake, do not say, "Oh, that was the stupidest thing I ever heard." You're asking for a fight. Listen. Consider. And you know something? Many times, if not most of the time, she's right. It's when I don't pay attention I usually get myself in trouble. It's when I listen to good godly advice from my wife I do better. You should deliberately honor her and consider her, both privately and in public. There's no place for downgrading her before your friends and family. Make others respect her, admire her. Make them say, "Man, she must be one of the most wonderful women there ever was." And instead of making them feel sorry for you, make them envy you. Because you place her in a place of honor. Thirdly, your wife needs your support spiritually. As being heirs together of the grace of life. This deliberate, and I stress deliberate, consideration is done in the light of the fact that you are both heirs together of God's grace and salvation and your daily living. Yes, God's made you head of the home, but you're both Christians. You're both children of God. And the wise husband helps his wife grow spiritually. He supports her spiritually. He doesn't complain if she spends some money to buy something to help her grow spiritually, or the time she spends at a Bible study. Make sure your family's in church. Man, may I say something? That's your responsibility. It's not our godly wife's responsibility to make sure our families are in church. It's our responsibility. And we shouldn't just send our children to church. We should bring them to church. We are to be learners. We are to be lifters. Thirdly, the husband is to be a leader. Go to our scripture reading this morning, the book of Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body." Let me say a couple things about this. God has chosen you, men, to lead your home. You are to lead. "Oh, I'm the leader." Hey, don't get proud. Don't get puffed up like a big bullfrog. There is no hint of superiority here. Only of responsibility. There's no room for you to get proud and abuse your responsibility. "I'm the head of the home and you will do as I say." That's not what Paul is thinking about. Don't get proud. God has put you in that position. You didn't earn it. It's not because, per se, you're smarter or more spiritual or this or that. There's no room here for abuse. Indeed, if we go to the book of Colossians, we read in Colossians 3:19, we're commanded this: "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter or harsh toward them." There's no place here for meanness. There's certainly no place here for abuse. We're to lead because God has placed us there. And that's a position of responsibility. And may I say, secondly, you are to lead your home, but you're to lead your home for God. God has put you in that position. It is a position of tremendous responsibility under the leadership of Jesus Christ. The idea here when it says you are to rule your family does not mean dictatorship, but wise management. Indeed, if I were to look at any modern word that talks about the rulership of the husband, it would be that: management. You are to manage your home. According to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, and understand, 1 Timothy is speaking here especially to pastors. It says that a pastor should be, and I quote, one who rules his own house well. And then it's basically repeated for deacons. And that's just the leadership of the church. May I say all Christian husbands should rule their house well. But that means manage. We are managers. One of our primary management responsibility is to know the strength and value of our spouse. Now I want to give you a little bit of insight, especially those who have your own businesses and you're over people. A key principle of good management is delegation of responsibility. A good manager doesn't try to do all the work himself. He also doesn't try to micromanage. Nobody wants to be micromanaged, okay? Or to give somebody a position of responsibility and then try to tell them how to do every part of it. A good manager gives jobs to different people depending upon their ability. And then he helps them to grow in their position by giving them the resources they need to grow and the tools and authority they need to grow. Thinking in management, a good husband, a wise husband, gives his wife responsibilities suited to her by her talents and abilities. Now, we are all different. The wise husband will discover his wife's abilities and encourage her to use them. You hear of some husbands who can't add one and one and get two and want to take care of all the finances. Yet his wife is very good with finances, but he won't let her because he's the head of the home. May I say he's very foolish. Now, I use finances as an example, but you can use different things. Sit down together, know what's strong, what weaknesses are, and when somebody's strong, if she's strong in certain things and you're weak, God has brought her into your life to take care of that weakness. Utilize her. Let her use those abilities and help her with that. And may I say this? One day you will answer to God for your leadership. I don't know about you men, but that scares me at times. I will answer to God for my leadership of my children. I will answer to God for my leadership of my wife. And when I see how much I fail, that scares me. But I should get up and say, okay, I'm going to go forward and try to do better. It's like anything else in the Christian life. May I give you a little secret I've learned over the years? We're not perfect. We fail. We sin. We fall on our face. The secret is not to stay on our face, but to get back up, brush yourself off, ask God's forgiveness, and ask His strength and His help, and go on and do the best we can with His help. I find it interesting that in both of the cases in Ephesians and Colossians, where God says, husbands do this, wives do this, children do this, parents do this, you know, managers do this, employees do this. He starts it all out by saying, be filled with the Spirit, which means be controlled by God's Spirit. Because we can't do it on our own, only He can do it. That's why we're talking about a happy Christian family. One more thing. We're to be learners. We're to be lifters. We're to be leaders. But husbands, we are also to be lovers. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love, love, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Who's our example? Christ. Not our earthly fathers or grandfathers. They may have done great. They may have failed. But Christ never fails. Christ is our example. Well, how did Christ love the church? That's how we're to love our wives. You're to love her sacrificially. We don't catch this in the English, but if we knew Greek, we would. The word used here for love is agape. There are about 5 different words in the Greek language for love. We just use the word love. I love ice cream. I love my dog. I love my wife. You love your wife the way you love ice cream and your dog? Well, no. But we use one word. The Greeks didn't make that mistake. They had a word for family love or friendship love. They had a word for sexual love. And we're to love our wives as a friend. We're to love our wives in the sexual union. But there's another word, and it's a word here, agape. It's the kind of love used by God for God's love. It means a self-sacrificial love. For God so loved, agape, the world, that he gave his only begotten son. We're to do things we don't like to do because we're sacrificing because we want to help her. I'll be honest, I don't like to do dishes. I used to tease the girls, say, Dad, why don't we get a dishwasher? And I said, why? I've got 4. That didn't go over well, guys. But we're to help out. We're to do things. Go places we don't want to go because she wants to go. We're to experience things we maybe don't want to experience because she wants to experience. We have a day off and we want to do this, this, and this, but she wants to do this. Well, maybe I'll go just this, just so I can be with my wife. We're to sacrifice. We're also to love her perfectingly. That may be a new word. I don't know. My spell check does not like that word. But it's a good word, perfectingly. We want to perfect her. Go on here in Ephesians about Christ's love, beginning at verse 26 and then 27. That he, Christ, might sanctify, that set her apart, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Jesus Christ loved us to accept us as we are. That he loves us enough not to leave us there. The Christian life is a growth process. He washes us. He sanctifies us. He brings us closer to him. We as husbands should do everything we can to see our wives grow. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. What are we doing to help our wives grow spiritually? What can we do? Maybe we need to ask them. But because of our influence on their lives, they should be better Christians a year from now than they are now. They should be able to accomplish things that they never would accomplish without our help. They should be people that they, or a woman they should not be, they would not be, she would not be able to be without our involvement in her life. May I conclude with these thoughts? The root of most marital problems is sin. Now, you may not agree with that, but stay with me. The root of most marital problems is sin, and the root of all sin is selfishness. If you love your wife selflessly, you will do away with most of your marital problems. I save the role of lover till last because I believe it's the key role of a husband. You should learn to lift your wife. You should learn to learn about your wife, and you should learn to lift your wife and to lead her. But you do all that because you love her. To put it this way, you are to be a learning, lifting, leading lover. Here's where it gets hard. Here's where it gets self-convicting. How are you rating today? Are you being what God expects you to be as a husband? Or do you need to work on one or more of these areas? We all fail. But that doesn't mean we're failures. We keep on going. And there's no better time to start than now. Let's stand. Our Father in heaven, thank you. You are our perfect Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are a perfect lover. And Father, I pray for each man here who is married or is contemplating marriage. I pray for myself that you would help us to follow your word and be the husband you want us to be. It's not going to be easy. It never is. But nothing worth having or accomplishing ever is. Help us, dear Lord, in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, if our Lord tarries, to be the husbands we should be. And may we start right now with your help and your strength. In your name, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let us close with one more song. Amazing Grace. Thank you.